along. I hear that old whistle whining. I spend my days crying, wondering when you'll be back, baby.
91.5 WMFO in Medford. It is a crash course for the Ravers show. I'm Brian. How's it going? I play you deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, plenty of Boston local. And your requests, if I like them, 855-915-9636 is the number. We got B-52s coming up, Monkees for Mickey Dolan's birthday. Mark Bolan and T-Rex gonna play some Stupidity. But I first like to start off with the Thigh Scrapers. Now, it might seem self-indulgent. I got my own radio show. I'm gonna play the first song, a Thigh Scraper song. I just played the intro, which was the Thigh Scrapers. But I rarely, besides the intro, play one of our songs. So, yeah, why shouldn't I? The song rocks. You're gonna love it. It's called Eight Ball Shifter on MFO. World exclusive. First time played on the radio.
Come back, I'm a high flame drifter and I'm ready to go. Give you one for the
91.5 MFO. Yes, that was the latest from the Thigh Scrapers, 8 Ball Shifter, my band. I wrote the lyrics and I sing it. And let me know what you think of it. 855-915-9636. Now, I tried to play Lizzie Borden last week, her cover of I'd Love to Change the World, and it just, when I pressed start, it just went away. I'm going to try it one more time. If it doesn't work, we'll play a different Lizzie Borden song. Maybe I'm covering Stepping Stone, since it's Mickey Dolenz' birthday, right? And then we'll do a Monkey song after. Sound good? Let's first see if this... We'll play a different version of I'd Love to Change the World if this doesn't work. So we'll do the original. It's MFO! And it works! Phew!
Dykes and fairies, tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor, till there are no poor no more. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I leave it up to you. Population keeps on breeding, nation bleeding, still no feeding come for me. Life is funny, skies are sunny, bees make honey, who needs money? Oh yes, that's me. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I'll leave it. Oh!
Very welcome, Liz Borden. It was Lizzie Borden and the Axes covering the Monkees, Stepping Stone. It is Mickey Dolenz's birthday. We'll get to him in a minute. Started the show off with a brand new Thigh Scrapers, Eight Ball Shifter. Then we had the Liz Borden Band, I'd Love to Change the World. And then Lizzie Borden and the Axes, same girl, different band, Stepping Stone. Well, she might have had some of the same players in both those bands. But anyways, you have a caller. MFO, you're on the air. And she's gone. Try and call back. 855-915-9636. Here we go. MFO, you're on the air.
Hey, it's me, Rosie.
Rosie, what's up?
Well, I just heard Eight Ball Shifter, and I love the Thigh Scrapers. I love all you guys' songs, but this one, you guys just keep getting better.
Do we have a new hit?
Yes. You damn sure have a new hit.
Well,
I love it.
I think some people out there are thinking that it's a drug connotation, like eight ball, you know.
No.
But no, I actually have an eight ball screwed onto my shifter and my Challenger. And
that is so cool.
So I'm singing about my car and the eight ball shifter, you know?
Yeah. But no, the song itself, I mean, you're probably going to get a lot of comments about that song.
I hope so.
it's so bitching. I mean, it's just, you know, the kind of song you want to just blast in your car.
Right. Hey, I'm not
I don't have an eight ball shifter, but you do.
Well, maybe you can get like number 7. Stripes.
No, that wouldn't be as cool. I can never be as cool as Brian Young.
But number 7's lucky. Or you can get a 13. Be evil.
I just want to say I love the song. And well, really, what it is, it's a car song.
It's a car song?
It's about a car.
Oh, it's about a car, yeah. I thought you were saying we ripped it off from the cars.
So oh, no.
They have a bolt shifter, too?
You guys don't rip anything off.
No. Well, we do. We're going to put Drive In Saturday, the David Bowie cover. It's going to be a bonus track on the album coming up.
Oh, I cannot wait.
So you don't have
to wait.
You won't have to wait every week to hear it. You can listen to it anytime.
Oh, that's so cool. Because your band is just, you guys are just so awesome and so talented. And your singing and your songwriting is perfect. I mean, it's just perfect. I love it. I love your band.
Okay. You can stop blowing smoke. Thank you, Rosie.
I am not blowing smoke. Shut up, Brian.
What do you have any requests? And not the thigh scrapers. We just played them.
I know. Okay, I've got one. Cheap Trick. Just got back.
Just got back?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I hope I have that one. First, here's some monkeys for you. Okay, Rosie?
Yay!
It's Mickey Dolan's birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday, Mickey.
We're MFO.
Suck it to me.
Floating in the river with a saturated liver, and I wish I could forgive her, but I do believe she meant it when she told me to forget it, and I bet you will forget it when they find me in the morning, wet and drowned, and the wood gets round. I'm going down. Coming up for air, it's pretty stuff under there. I'd like to say I didn't care, but I forgot to leave a note, and it's so hot to stay afloat. I'm soaking wet without a boat, and I knew I should have taken off my shoes. It's front page news. Going down, going down. Straight, you must have had another date. I didn't need a extra way to wish that I could see the way to show. I don't want no more. Going down, I'm going down. And now I see the left, I let it slip it all away. I made a shit, I learned to swim instead of now. It's really got me stuff. I can't believe it. Why I turn my life again? My tummy pump, I can't believe they drink this stuff in town. This dirty brown. Seniors are getting old. I'm hungry, sleepy, wet and cold. She told me to forget it nice. I should have taken her advice. I only want to go on home. I'd gladly leave that girl alone. What a way to spend the night. If I don't drown, I'll die of fright. My pappy taught me how to float, but I can't swim a single note. He threw me in to teach me how. I stayed there floating like a mama cow, and now I've floated way downstream. No, this has to be a dream. If I could find my way to shore, I'd never do this anymore. Like if you say up and down, but I'm going down just one more time. Go down, I'm going down,
getting light, everything will be alright. Think I finally got the knack of just floating and lazy on my back. I never really liked that town. I think I'll ride the river down, just moving slow and floating free. There's a river swinging under me, waving back to the slopes on shore. I should have thought of this before. I've flown on down to New Orleans and picked up on some swinging scenes. Going down.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
MFO, you're on the air.
Hello.
Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Brian?
Hey, good to hear you.
Good to hear you, too. Thanks for having me on.
Joe, how do you say your last name? Milliken?
That's correct.
Joe Milliken, the author.
Yep, it was a long time coming, but it eventually happened.
When did you release that Cars book?
The book was released in November of 2018, so it's been around a couple years now.
What do you call it?
It's called Let's Go, Benjamin Orr and the Cars.
Right on.
So the reason the Cars are also in the title, technically it's not a Cars book. It is a biography about Ben's life.
Okay.
But of course, if you're going to write about Ben's life, obviously the Cars are all over the place in this book, because you wouldn't be a famous rock star if it weren't for the Cars. So
right.
It also tells a lot of Cars history, obviously, once it gets to that point in Ben's story. Although he did meet Rick Ocasek when they were young. I mean, they had bands together and toiled around the states trying to get that elusive record deal for almost a decade before they got to Boston and finally got their deal. So Ben and Rick go back a long way, and it wasn't anything that happened overnight for them. It was a long haul for about a 10-year period before they finally landed in Boston, and the magic finally happened.
And good job they did. Yeah, I got to see them once. It was after Ben died. As you know, I met Ben. That's how someone must have told you that, and you approached me about it. And
On Facebook, I saw that, you know, you and I have like a couple of hundred mutual friends on Facebook.
Right.
Just, you know, throughout the Boston music community. So I think that's how I originally reached out to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the book's been out for a couple years, and, you know, since it's come out, you know, I've done a lot of interviews and stuff, radio and podcasts, and, you know, doing my own grassroots promotion of the book, if you will. And I've met a lot of people that knew Ben, such as yourself, but I didn't connect with them until after the book was out. I have people who reach out to me and go, I just found this book. I didn't know you were doing it. I wish I had known. I knew Ben. I would have loved to talk to you about Ben. It's amazing. I didn't really fathom this or really understand it until I wrote this book, but you just have no idea how many people a rock star knows.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. During my interview process for this book, so when I started the book, Ben had already passed away. He was gone in 2000, unfortunately. Passed away way too young. He was 53, I believe, when he passed. And it was about 5 or 6 years after that that I started the book. So, unfortunately, I didn't get to talk to the man himself. But, you know, what do you do if you can't talk to him yourself? You try to find as many people who knew him as you can. And that's what I did. And over a several-year period, because I kind of did this book in my spare time. You know, it wasn't like I could sit in my office for 8 hours a day and work on a book.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of fit it in here and there when you can. But I ended up interviewing over 120 people who knew him throughout his life.
Wow.
From when he was like a middle schooler, when he was young. So I talked to a lot of people when he was young before he even became famous. And then, of course, a lot of people while he was famous. And then after the Cars broke up, too. And the thing that was amazing to me was, you know, I had a short list of people to interview to start out with. And everybody I talked to, it was one of those things where they'd go, so have you talked to so-and-so? And I, no, who's that? You haven't talked to so-and-so? Oh, him and Ben were really close. They loved each other. Here, I'll let him know. Here's his number. So
right.
Everybody I interviewed knew somebody else that I could talk to. And it just went from there and went on and on. And eventually I had to cut off the interview process. I was like, I could just keep doing this till cows come home.
Right.
So I eventually stopped the process and said, I gotta get this book out. I can't do any more interviews. So that's kind of how it happened. And, you know, Ben was a really interesting guy. And, you know, all he ever wanted to do in life was play music. I mean, he actually, you know, back in the mid-50s, he actually quit school in the middle of high school to become a professional musician. And his parents, like, backed him and let him do it. So it was, like, the only thing he ever wanted to do. And, you know, eventually he ends up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is in his hometown of Cleveland. So talk about coming full circle, huh?
Right. And now you're going to put out a companion to this?
Well, it's something that's being discussed. So, you know, when I, this book was the first book that I ever, you know, I've been a published writer for about 20 years, nice. But it's all like newspapers, magazines, things like that. This was my first book. So admittedly, I was green, didn't really know the process. So when this book came out, you know, the publisher is great to me and they do everything they can to get the book out there for you. But, from there, it's pretty much up to you to, you know, they pretty much say, you know where your audience is. You have to promote the book and push it. So I kind of developed my own little grassroots PR program, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I've spent a lot of time, because I put so much time into the book, I wanted to put proper time into the book after it came out, you know, to properly promote it and get the word out there about it. So that's what I did for, you know, now a couple of years since the book came out. But about 6 months ago, I, you know, started talking to my rep at the publisher again and started talking about, some different ideas. My book will be music related. I mean, that's what my passion is. I'm not a musician, so I have to write about it. That's what keeps me involved in music.
Right.
So we started tossing around some ideas, and ironically enough, in one of the interviews I had done about my book after it had come out, I had mentioned that I had a whole bunch of photos left over that I had collected for the book. You know, the publisher says, yeah, man, you have 300 photos of Ben in the cars and all these unreleased, never-before-seen photos. That's really great. Pick 35 of them. That's how many can go in the book.
Wow.
So I had all these leftover photos and some leftover interview stuff and things because, you know, they have, you know, restrictions on how big it could be. So in one of my interviews, I happened to mention that I had all this leftover stuff. Well, there's Ben fans and Cars fans that have been following me for a long time through this book process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a page for the book on Facebook, as you know, and I have people who follow me there. Well, some of these fans heard that I had all this extra stuff, and they started sending me messages going, what are you going to do with all that stuff? And I'm like, I don't know. It's probably just going to sit in my files. And they said, you should put out a second book. I would support it. So a lot of, you know, they're diehard fans, and they're wonderful
sure.
people. A lot of Ben fans and Cars fans, and they're saying, if you put out a second book, I'd buy it.
Right.
So it's one of the ideas that I've approached the publisher about. And I'll be honest, they didn't say no to it, but
yeah.
they weren't necessarily enthusiastic either. They go, well, we don't know. You know, usually leftover kind of books like that. And I'm like, well, it wouldn't all be leftovers. Like I just mentioned to you before, I've got all kinds of new people I've been meeting and wanting to talk to me about Ben. So I have new interviews I could use as well, along with all these leftover photos. So it's something that we're talking about. Like I said, along with a couple other ideas. I've already started working on the project, so if I keep working on it in my spare time and somehow my current publisher doesn't want it, there's a lot of publishers out there. You know, I could self-publish it. I would go down that avenue once I got there. I'm hoping that my publisher is going to buy on the idea and we'll be able to do it. But I've already started some work on it, so I'm just kind of working along through it. That's how me and you started talking,
because mm-hmm.
I know, you know, that you've already mentioned that that you had met Ben. So I've been kind of doing interviews about it. And I
didn't just meet Ben. It's a really good story. So I hope the book, you do the companion, and it gets put out there.
I am definitely, there are a lot of fans who have been following me. Not fans of me, fans of Ben, and
right.
fans of the Cars.
Right.
I want to make sure I make that distinction. Who, like I said, have followed me and said that they would support a second book. I mean, I don't want to go as far as to say that every single person who bought Let's Go was going to buy this. But I do feel confident that there's enough people who are really diehard fans of Ben and the band that would support a second book.
Yes.
I know the audience now, obviously, because I've worked, you know, on this project for many years, even before the book came out. So I feel like I know my audience, and
Where are you from yourself?
I'm originally from Boston.
Oh,
I was
cool.
born in Jamaica Plain.
Nice.
But my parents moved us away when I was pretty young. I wasn't there very long. I lived in upstate New York for a few years. My dad was a Woolworth store manager. So when I was young, he'd get a, he'd do good at a store, and they'd give him a bigger one, and we'd move. And then he'd do good there, and they'd give him another store, and we'd move. So when I was young, I moved around quite a bit. But when I was in middle school, we came to New Hampshire, and my dad said, "No more moving. I like it here. It's nice and quiet."
Yeah, New Hampshire is nice.
I'm in Vermont now, but I'm about 2 hours north of Boston.
Okay.
In Vermont.
Okay. Well, Joe.
Yeah, so that's one.
It's been nice talking to you.
I appreciate you letting me gab about my book for a few minutes.
No problem, brother. I'll do what I can, you know?
Yeah, I go into interview mode, and I just try to get all the information out there that I can. Anyone who might be interested in Let's Go, you know, I have a Facebook page. They can find me on Facebook. I also have a website for the book. It's really easy. It's www.benorbook.com. Pretty
nice,
easy. So
nice.
People can go there and, you know, read a little bit about what the book's about, and there's some photos there and stuff. So anybody who wants to reach out to me, I love promoting Ben and the band, so I'm always welcome to talk to anybody. And you and I will talk again soon. I'll send you another message, and we will set that interview up. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Right on. Joe Milliken, everyone. Author
hey,
of
man.
Let's Go.
And thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Let's play a nice Cars block right now, huh?
Throw Let's Go in there for me.
Of course, it's the first one.
Very cool.
Okay, Joe Milliken. It's a Crash Course for the Ravers Show. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, man. I look forward to talking to you soon.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Life's the same, I'm moving in stereo. Life's the same, except for my shoes. Life's the same, you're shaking like tremolo. Life's the same, it's all inside you. It's so easy to play up and break down. It's so easy to cry in the window. It's so easy to fool with the sound. Inside you.